And I want to discuss this evening issues to do with the Tarnit, which starts tomorrow, and the 3 weeks, which also start tomorrow. So want to begin with a question about what the status is of the Arba Taniot. That I want to start with a Mishnah in Masechet Rosh Hashanah in the first Perek. Everybody should have the Makorot accessible. That's the Mishnah says, Al Shisha Chodashim HaShluchin Yotzin. There are 6 months of the year when the Shluchin go out from Yerushalayim to let people know what when Rosh Chodesh was declared, because it's important for them to know what date of the month it is, because there are various observances that have to be kept. Al Nisan Mipnei HaPesach, Al Av Mipnei HaTarnit, Al Elul Mipnei Rosh Hashanah, Al Tishrei Mipnei Takanat HaMoadot, Al Kislev Mipnei Chanukah, Al Adam Mipnei HaPurim. But the other months, it doesn't really matter. You know, Cheshvan, that's, it doesn't matter if it's the second of Cheshvan or the third of Cheshvan. What does it bother a person? Doesn't matter. There's no observances that they have to keep during Cheshvan, so it doesn't matter. So the Gemara asks, Lifku Nami Atamuz V'Teivet. Oh, okay, that might be true with Cheshvan, that you don't really need to know what date it is. But for Tammuz and Tevet, you do, because you've got the fast days. That's my dichtiv. So we see that these dates, the 17th of Tammuz and the 10th of Tevet and the 3rd of Tishrei, that's and the 9th of Av, they're called both Tzom and they're called Sason V'Simcha. That's, now obviously they can't be both. Bisman Sheyesh Shalom Yulu Sason V'Simcha. Ein Shalom Tzom. So if it's a time of Shalom, so then they should be Sason V'Simcha. They're days of rejoicing, or at least days when you're not allowed to fast on them, when Megillat Tarnit is in force. Whereas if there's no Shalom, then they should be a Tzom. They should be a fast day. Look at Rashi, Sheish Shalom. What's the definition of Shalom? So it's a discussion amongst the Rishonim, how we define Shalom. Rashi says, She'en Yad HaGoyim Tekifal Yisrael. It means just that we're not under anybody else's rule. That's, whereas others say Shalom means that we've either got the Beit HaMikdash or we've got sovereignty over Eretz Yisrael. Yulu Sason L'Simcha, Le'aser B'Hesped V'Tarnit, doesn't necessarily mean to say that you have to celebrate, but there's an Isra Hesped and Tarnit. That's Yesh Gezerat HaMalchut Tzom. Okay, so we haven't yet got up to Gezerat HaMalchut, but Ein Shalom, that's if that's Jewish people aren't autonomous and in charge of their own destiny. So then it's a Tzom. So nowadays, after the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, that's it's certainly not Sason V'Simcha. So it should be a Tzom. So why don't the Shluchim go out at the beginning of Tammuz to tell us when Rosh Chodesh was, so that we would know to observe the fast day on the correct date? So Amar Rav Papa answered, Hachi Ka'amar. Actual fact, this is what's going on. Bizman Sheish Shalom Yulu Sason L'Simcha. If the Jewish people, if you like, are in the ascendancy, so then it's Sason V'Simcha. Yesh Shemad Tzom. If there's Shemad, if there's oppression, so then it's a time of Tzom. Ein Shemad V'Ein Shalom. But it's not a sort of binary choice. It's not either Shmad or Shalom. Sometimes there's no Shalom, but there's no Shmad either. You know, things are ticking over, but there's no Jewish autonomy. So in that case, Ratzu Mitanim, Ratzu Ein Mitanim. It's optional. And therefore, if it's optional, look at Rashi, Ratzu Ein Mitanim. If they don't want to fast, they don't have to fast. The Kevan Dirashutu, and seeing as it's optional, Lo Matshuchinan Shluchim Alayhu. Therefore, we don't put the Shluchim to the trouble of going out for these months. So then the Gemara says, Ihachi Tisha B'Av Nami. Why do we make such a big deal about Tisha B'Av? Amarav Papa, Shani Tisha B'Av, Hol V'Huch B'Lu Bo Tzarot. Tisha B'Av is different because the intensity and the magnitude of the tragedy was much greater. There were multiple tragedies that happened on on Tisha B'Av. There were multiple tragedies that also happened on Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, but not quite of the same magnitude. In any event, what this Gemara seems to be indicating is that in a, what I would call a Parav era, where it's neither Shalom nor Shmad, so then the fasts are not statutory and they are optional. That's so one can choose whether or not one is fasting. So look at the run on the Rif. That so the Ran says, so the fact that we say that apart from Tisha B'Av, the other fast days are optional, it makes sense, he says, that even if, generally speaking, everybody fasts, that we shouldn't say the fact that, you know, for five generations previously everybody's fasted, that they still have the din, that they now have the din of being obligatory, as opposed to, let's say, for example, Tfilat Arvit, which a number of the Rishonim say that, yes, Tfilat Arvit is essentially a Rashut, but now, because everybody davens it, so it's become a Chova. So the Ran is saying, as far as the minor fasts are concerned, that's not the case. The fact that everybody does it still doesn't turn it into be a chova. Why not? The implication of the Gemara is, when it said, well, you know, the Shluchim should go out for Tammuz and Teveit, so why should they go out? Well, presumably because everybody fasts them. That's why I feel haki maskin and deratsu ain't mitanim, but nevertheless, the maskan of the Gemara is that it's all dependent on whether people want to or don't want to fast. But lekalameima de kevin de miikara baratsu talia milta. Don't try to suggest, well, seeing as initially it depended on ratsu, after gavda hashta kablin hu chova, lochami re kulehai. All we're just saying is that now they've got the status of being obligatory, but they're not quite as strict. To leifku shluchim alone, that we should need shluchim to go out. That's not a good claim. To im ita d'chava ninhu am I lot? Because if they are obligatory, whether it's that they were originally obligatory or they've become obligatory, either way, you know, the shluchim should go out. Elavadai kada amran. But it must be, says the Ran, as he says, that even though for many generations people might have fasted on these days, they are actually optional fast days. That's Ulafisa Haidana Hanach Tzomot Bar Mitisha B'Av Baratzu Talya. So it's optional nowadays. Ela Sharamban Zal Katav B'Sefer Torat Adam. So the Ramban says, and this now links in with Hilchot Aveilut, because it's Sefer Torah Ta'adam. Deratzu Rov Yisrael v'iskimu shelo litanot ka'amrinan. That's She'ein Beit Din matrichim alehem litanot. That's, so the Ramban says, yeah, if the general consensus is not to fast, then the Beit Din won't insist that people do fast. V'achshav k'var ratzu v'nagu litanot. However, now it's the other way round. Now the ratzu is the decision has been made for countless generations that we should fast. Lefichach asur liyachid liprotz gidram. Certainly a yachid's not allowed to disassociate himself from the tzibur in this regard. So that's the Ramban is saying differently to what the Ran had suggested. The Ran had suggested that, irrespective of what's happened, you know, these fasts are always, but by definition, regarded as optional fasts. Whereas the Ramban says no, they can, by usage, if you like, become compulsory fasts. That's if several generations everybody fasts on these occasions, so then it becomes an obligatory fast. And then he says something very important. He says, "Of course, came to Dorot Halalu, Shari Bavonotenu Sherabu Yesh Gzera Israel Vein Shalom Hilchach Chayavin Hakol Litanot Medivrei Kabbalah V'Takanat Neviim." He says you've got to look at the historical era in which you live. If you live in an era of persecution, which is what the Ramban is saying he experienced. We know the Ramban that's lived in persecuted times in Spain at the beginning of the Inquisition. That's and he had to take part in the disputation, etc., etc. So that was he regarded as being a time of oppression, and therefore he said, no, that's Ein Shalom. That's worse than Ein Shalom. That's a time of Shmad, and therefore there's a Chiyuv to fast. Now, of course, that's a little bit subjective as to, you know, the time and the place. The Shulchan Aruch says that nowadays everybody should fast, and it's asor lifrotz geder. If we look in the Shulchan Aruch, that's in Siman Tafkuf. Tafkuf Nun. That's so the Lashon of the Shulchan Aruch is as follows. That's Hakol Chayvin Litanot Arbat Somot Alalu Vasor Lifrotz Geder. That so everybody has to fast, and you don't have any choice about it. That's now the Shulchan Aruch says that these fast days, even though they're obligatory, that's the Shulchan Aruch said they're obligatory. Nevertheless, somot halalu chutz mitisha bav mutarim bechitz of sicha nilata sandav tashmi shamita. They ain't sarach lahav sik bahem mibod yom. They don't have the same stringencies as Tisha B'Av has. Tisha B'Av is a classic Tanit Sibur, which means that all the five Inuyim apply, and you have to fast through the night, etc. Whereas these minor fast days, you don't have to fast through the night. Now the Mishnah Berurah explains why not. That's because when Klal Yisrael accepted upon themselves these Taniot, they didn't accept upon themselves that to the same degree that they accepted Tisha B'Av on themselves. However, he says, "Val nefesh yachmir b'kulan k'mo b'tisha b'av." Bal nefesh should be strict about all these chamisha inuyim. So they were never part of the original intention, but it's still good for a bal nefesh. Bal nefesh perhaps should have a sort of spiritual sensitivity to the Churban HaBayit that he or she wants to fast on these days. That's in the fullest of manners. Now we're looking at the Shaar HaTzion. Shaar HaTzion indicates that it's not just a matter of Bal Nefesh, but Haitana Matsui Gzerot Bin Avdei Gilulim. Bim Kein Chal Etzem Achiyuv Al Agimul Tzomot Kumar Tisha B'Av Lefi Divrei HaRamban V'Gam Agra B'Viyuro Maskim Nitivrei HaRamban. So he's quoting the Ramban that we just saw in the Ran. He's quoting the Ramban to the effect that nowadays it might not just be a matter of Bal Nefesh Yachmir, but it might be a din that Me'ikar HaDin, you have to fast on these days because it's a Shat HaShmad. So the definition of Shat HaShmad is an interesting question. What Shat HaShmad is? I understand that in Eastern Europe, when the Shulchan Aruch was when the Mishnah Berurah was being written, that it was Shat HaShmad. I understand that, and I understand that that during the Shoah it was Shat HaShmad. But would we regard now as being Shat HaShmad? So on the one hand, you know, we've got Medinat Yisrael, and we've got Jewish leadership in Medinat Yisrael, Jewish sovereignty. That you can't say it's Shat HaShmad. On the other hand, You know, there are nations, you know, not far from Israel, Iran, that wants to wipe out the Jewish state. There is, Hezbollah from the from Gaza, who's trying to, you know, constantly launching rockets against Israel. Hezbollah and Hamas. You know, there is still a certain threat. Whether we can say that it's Shat Hashmad, that's I don't know. But, you know, that's certainly something, something to consider with regard to the status of these Arbataniot. Okay, let's go on and think a little bit about the nature of a Tanit Sibor. So, it's very hard when the fast tomorrow comes in at, I think, 1:15 in the morning and goes out at 10:15 at night, to think of anything other than the fact that we're fasting and not eating. But the fasting and not eating should be a fairly minor aspect of the fast day. And the real nature of the fast day is that it's a time to cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and for us to mend our ways and do teshuva. That's really what it's all about. That's the Rambam. That's in Hilchot Taniot. That's the very beginning. What does he tell us? That's Mitzvah Taseh Min HaTorah Lizok L'Ariyah B'Katzal Shoto Kol Tzavah Shara Shev Tzavah HaTzibur. That's V'Zdavar Zeh Midarchei HaTshuvahi. That's that, you know, the crying out that we do on a Tanit Tzibur is part of the process of tshuva. And there are various times when we fast because of various things that are happening at that that point in time. But also in Perakei, the Rambam tells us that we've got fixed times when we fast. And what is the purpose of the fast? Kedei le'orer halavavot liftoch darchei atshuva. V'yez ezikaron ma'aseinu haraim ma'asei avoteinu shayuk ma'aseinu ata. Ad shegaram lahem lanu otanat sarot. Shebizchron dvarim eilu nashuv lehitiv. What's the whole purpose of a Tanit Sibor? The whole purpose of a Tanit Yachid or Tanit Sibor, Tanit is always to make us return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and improve our ways. So that should certainly be a focus of our of what the fast day is about. Not just abstaining from food, but thinking about our lives and how we can improve them. So one of the characteristics of a fast day is that it's accompanied by tzaka. It's accompanied by crying out to Hashem. And that finds expression in our tefillot. And as we all know, that part of the Seder HaTfilah on a fast day is saying Aneinu in the Amidah. So the Gemara on Daf Yudalad discusses where Aneinu should be recited. Is Aneinu recited as a bracha bifnei atzma? Or is it recited as an insertion in Shomea Tefillah? So the conclusion is that it's that the Shliach Tzibur says it as a bracha bifnei atzma. That's only a Shliach Tzibur or Tzibur can, you know, insert an extra bracha into the Amidah. And the Yachid, even if he's praying as part of a Tzibur, but the Yachid says it in Shomea Tefillah. We know that that's what we do. Question is, which Tefillot do we say Aneinu in? When do we say Aneinu on a Tanit Tzibur? So if you look in the Rif, the beginning of Masechet Tanit, he quotes Yerushalmi on four lines down there in the Rif, and he quotes Yerushalmi. So what does the Yerushalmi say? Rabbi Yonah b'shem Rav Amar, v'afil yachid shegazal atzmo tanit, tzarklas kim ein hamora. So even a yachid who's got his own tanit yachid needs to say me'ein hamora. It's interesting that it's using here the term me'ein hamora, just like we call, you know, on Shabbat, Ritzei, Mein Hamor, and Yalev Yavo, on Rosh Chodesh, and Yom Tov, we call it Mein Hamor. So, Tanit also we call Aneinu Mein Hamor, i.e. it's reflecting the nature of the day, the character of the day, in the Tefillah. Heichan Omra, where do you say it? Rabbi Zeh, Rabbi Shim, Rav Huna, Omer, Omra, Kelele, Shabbat, Uchiyomo. You say it as you do on Friday nights and the day. Now, obviously, we don't fast on Friday nights and the day, so what does it mean? Perish ba'arvit shachrit u'mincha. You say it, Mariv, on the fast day, shachrit on the fast day, and mincha on the fast day. That's just as Shabbat, you mention it in all the tefillot. Rosh Chodesh, you mention it in all the tefillot. And this makes a lot of sense in terms of it's calling it Ma'in HaMa'ora. Ma'in HaMa'ora is reflecting the character of the day. It's not just, it seems that, at least according to this Yerushalmi, the Aneinu is not just a prayer associated with our fasting, but it's a prayer about the nature, the character of the day. And therefore you say it in all the tefillot. The Garsin and Bavame Madlikin, he says the same thing would seem to be the case from the Bavli in the second parak of Masechet Shabbat, where the Gemara says, Yamim Shein Bahim Korban Musaf, Yon Shein V'chamish V'taniot Ma'amadot. So particular days when there's no Korban Musaf, but there's a Ma'in HaMa'ora. So Mondays and Thursdays and Taniot and Ma'amadot. Shein V'chamishi Ma'avidatayhu. What are we talking about Mondays and Thursdays? Thursdays. El HaBeit V'hei Shel Tanit V'shel Ma'amadot. Arvit Shachrit U'mincha. So on a fast day, Ma'ariv Shachrit U'mincha. Mi'palel Yudchev Omer Mein HaMora B'shomer Tefillah. You say Mein Hamorah, you say Aneinu in Shomea Tefillah. So it's in all the three tefillot of the day. And that's the way the Rambam seems to paskin as well. However, if we look at the Ran on the Rif, the Ran on the Rif says, he doesn't agree with this. He rejects the Yerushalmi. He says that Yerushalmi is talking about a Tanit Sibur. That's where you stop fasting at night. But if we're talking about a regular fast day where you don't fast at night, then obviously you don't say Aneinu at night. Doesn't make any sense to say Aneinu at night. Aneinu, Tom Tani Tainu, on this day of our fast day. And then you go and sit down and have dinner afterwards. Or at least a snack before you go to bed. Right? How can you call it Yom Tom Tani Tainu if you're not yet fasting? So he says at the end, Aval Shachritu Mincha Ktani, Akulu Tani Otu Muhammadot. So certainly Shachritu Mincha, you say it, but you don't say it at Maariv. So the machloket between Rabbeinu, the Baal HaMa'or, and the Rif and the Rambam, that's what's the machloket. The machloket would seem to be that when does the fast day really start? Oh, sorry, there's two ways of understanding the machloket. Either you can just say that Aneinu is according to the Baal HaMa'or. Aneinu is to do with fasting, and therefore, if I'm not fasting, I can't say Aneinu. It's a reflection of my fasting. Whereas that's the Rif and the Rambam hold that no, Aneinu is the Mein HaMa'ora. Today is a fast day. And even though I'm not yet fasting, because the fast part doesn't start till tomorrow, it's still a fast day. And therefore I have to say Aneinu already. It's to do with, if you like, the date, rather than what I'm actually doing at that point in time. That's all we could say, that the machloket is really, when does the fast day begin? So according to the Rambam and the Rif, the fast day begins at night. already it's, you know, it's gone Shkia, that's certainly when it becomes Tzeitah Kochavim, that's when the fast day begins. It's true, I don't stop eating food until the morning, but the fast day has already commenced. That's whereas, according to the Baal HaMa'or, the fast day doesn't commence until tomorrow. That's until it gets light in the morning, and that's when the fast day commences. So really, you know, the question is, does the fast day commence when the day begins? It's just that the fasting doesn't yet begin. Or do we say the fast day doesn't yet begin until the fasting starts? So Nafka Mina will be as follows. Classic Nafka Mina will be with regard to not Shivah Asar B'Tammuz. We'll talk about why not. But let's say Asar B'Tevet. So could you have a wedding on the night of the 10th of Tevet? Could you have a wedding on the night of the 10th of Tevet? If we say that the 10th of Tevet begins when it gets dark, so then, yeah, you know, today is a day of Avilut, okay? It's just that the fasting dimension of it doesn't begin till the morning. But the whole day has got the, if you like, the Chalut Shem of Asar B'Tevet. That's what the Rambam and the Rif would seem to say. In terms of, you say Aneinu in the night. So they would presumably hold, you can't have a wedding then. On the other hand, that's if we say, like what appears from the Baal HaMa'or, that the fast day doesn't begin till the morning, so then the night, the preceding night, has got nothing to do with Asar B'Tevet, and you could have a wedding then. Now, there are some Shuvot which discuss this with regard to Shivah Asar B'Tammuz. Shivah Asar B'Tammuz is a little bit different, because Shivah Asar B'Tammuz, you've got the 3 weeks. So you could even say that even though the fast doesn't begin until that's till the next day, nevertheless, 3 weeks begins at night. In terms of, you know, the 3 weeks go from the beginning of the 17th of Tammuz till the end of the 9th of Av, or does it go from the beginning of the fast of Tammuz till the end of the 9th of Av? If it goes from the beginning of the fast of Tammuz, so that would mean to say that you, that perhaps, you know, could have a wedding tonight because it's not the 3 weeks. But Likhar, it makes sense to me to say, you know, the 3 weeks goes according to the calendar. That's, and the 3 weeks don't need to start at the same time that the fast day fast. So it could be that one could hold, that one doesn't say Aneinu till tomorrow. But nevertheless, the 3 week, and even that tonight is not the beginning of the fast day. But tonight is the beginning of the 3 weeks. And therefore one wouldn't be able to have a wedding tonight. There's a tshuva on the subject of Rav Moshe Feinstein. He was of the opinion that b'shat hadchat you can be lenient. Diane Grossnas in Leiv Aryeh that also has a tshuva exactly on this subject. And he also says that b'shat hadchak you could be lenient. That Rav Soloveitchik argued. Rav Soloveitchik said no, you couldn't be lenient because he held that the tarnit begins tonight. That's, you don't start fasting tonight, but the chalut shein of 17th of Tammuz being at a fast day that begins already tonight. So I can see where it would be practical. You know, this would be very practical. Say. You know, now that's, you know, this week, you know, weddings were allowed since Sunday, I think. Yes, is that when, I think that's when it became legal to have weddings again, right? People trying to get weddings in, you know, could have a person who, you know, they were supposed to have got married in April or May. You know, the wedding's being put, wasn't legal to have weddings till this Sunday. You know, and already tonight is Shivah Asar B'Tammuz. So if it's just a Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, you can't have all the weddings, you know, in such a small period of time. So some people have their wedding, you know, tonight. It's exceptional circumstances. I could see grounds for that that being permissible. Now, as you, well, it's a machloket about what? What are you asking? Where's which machloket brought in the sources? Well, it's not. It's they don't say it specifically, but this is the way a number of Achronim understand the machloket between the Rif and the Baal HaMa'or, that the Rif holds that the fast day starts tonight. Everybody agrees the fast doesn't start till dawn, but the fast day begins tonight according to the Rif, whereas according to the Baal HaMa'or it doesn't begin till dawn tomorrow, because the Rif says you start saying Aneinu already tonight, whereas the Baal HaMa'or says you don't say Aneinu till tomorrow. Now the Ashkenazim amongst us will be aware that in actual fact there's a third view, and that is that we only say Aneinu in Mincha. That Rashi brings down in the name of the Gaonim. If you look at the end of Rashi's comments here in Masechet Shavuot, Daf Kaf Dalet Amud Aleph, Rashi says, "Sof divrei Gaonim katvu, aval ein anu reginu lo ma'arvit, va'afilu shachrit." Our minhag is not to say Aneinu, neither in the evening nor in the morning. Shema ye'era lo ones choli or bumus v'yitom klum, because perhaps something he'll have to break his fast. V'nimtsa shakran b'tfilaton, therefore in his tefillah he'll have told a lie. He said it's yom tzom tani teinu and he didn't fast, so therefore you should leave it till mincha. That's again, one could argue perhaps logically that's, you know, misfara to say that no, even if you didn't fast, you still say Aneinu, because Aneinu is not necessarily a reflection of the fast, but Aneinu is a reflection of the offi of the day. It's the day which causes us to say Aneinu, rather than whether or not I'm fasting. In any event, the Shulchan Aruch paskens like the Baal HaMa'or. Yeah, that he quotes the view of the Gaonim. But he rejects it. In actual fact, it says, "V'abad somot gam ha'yachid omro b'chol tefilotav da'afilu yochazenu bulmus v'yochal shach shapil emei ma'aneinu b'yom tzom tanitazeh kevan shetiknu chachamim litanot bo." So the Mechaber is paskening, like the Rambam and the Rif, that you say aneinu in all the tefilot of a tanit zibor. However, the Rama says, in actual fact, the minhag is only to say it at mincha time, that milvad shliach tzibor she'omer shachar k'shemitpaleh b'kol ram. The shliach tzibor says that says it in shachrit as a bracha b'fnei atzma. That's, and why is this? The Achronim explain, because this is a tefillah of the tzibor. Somebody's going to be fasting. So it's true, the Shliach Tzibor might end up breaking his fast, but somebody's going to be fasting, and therefore you don't need to worry about it seeming to be Sheker. Okay, so there are a number of practical questions which come up with regard to a Tanit Tzibor. One which I've been asked many times, but probably won't be so relevant tomorrow. This year, and that's the question of a person who's travelling on Tanit Tzibor. Let's say a person's travelling from here to the States on a Tanit Tzibor. So they're taking off at 8 o'clock in the evening from Heathrow, heading to LA. It's an 11 or 12 hour flight. So there's another 2 hours of the fast here. But now, in actual fact, when they get into LA, when they get into LA, it'll be night. But there's going to be another 7, 8, 9 hours till it becomes light, till it gets dark, rather. So do they have to fast till it gets dark? If they have to carry on fasting till it gets dark, then they're going to be fasting over 24 hours. So what's the halacha? So Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva on the subject. He says, you know, it's hard to really know, because it's not one of these issues where there are clear makorot. You know, Chazal didn't discuss such cases. The Rishonim didn't discuss such questions, cases. But he says he thinks misvara Shel inyan tana mitana beinu kula beinu chumra ad seita kuchavim. Shehu b'makom shenim tsa'az. Basically, for a tana tzibur, you have to fast till seita kuchavim, wherever you are. V'af shelifamim hu ra'u shot mu atim, mishum shelonik ba'atanit al shot eile al yom shehu ad seita kuchavim, ela al yom shehu ad seita kuchavim. So it could be your fast day is curtailed. That's if you fly from England to Israel tomorrow, so then your fast goes out a couple of hours earlier than it would do if you stayed in England. So you could save yourself 4 or 5 hours. That's right. They're a couple of hours ahead and it goes out a couple of hours earlier. Yeah, you could save yourself, 4 hours, four hours of the fast day. On the other hand, if you're flying in the other direction, though it would extend it. So Rav Moshe Feinstein says, well, a fast day goes on till Seita Kochavim, Bein Lekula, Bein Lechumra. I have seen that you couldn't have it let you minimally you have to fast for 6 hours. If you don't have fast for 6 hours, then that's got no status of tarnit at all. So Rav Moshe is strict. However, Rav Vosner in Shevet Alevi, Rav Vosner is actually Makel, and he says that it doesn't make sense that you should have to fast so long. Why not? Because it doesn't make sense to say that Chazal instituted such a long fast day. In terms of basically, Chazal never wanted a person to have to fast on the minor fasts for such a long period of time. He says, "Distam tanit b'makom shu sham hu gzeira shirov hatzibo yicholim la'amod ma'ase ein kein laharich hatanit bod shevo eser shal v'lifamim yoter mevi chushal adam shu kvar b'geder patum in atanit." He says that I have to fast for so long that will make a person being patur from the tarnit, and therefore you can take out your fast, that you can break the fast once you know at the time of the point of embarkation that the fast has finished. Rav Nachum Rabinovich has also got a tshuva on this in Siach Nachum. That's Rav Nachum also says that you can bring out the fast before it's dark. He says because you've got the din of a person going from one place to another place. Now, generally speaking, you're not bound by the strictures of the second place till you're actually there. But here, it's the equivalent of being in the midbar. So if you're in the midbar, you're not bound by what's going on wherever you're ultimately going to arrive. So here also, you fasted the number of hours that the people who waved to you at the airport would be fasting. So that's good enough. You're not bound to carry on fasting because nobody else is there. Okay. So that's that discussion. Let's look at. I think in a case where you're saving hours again, they would be making. It's hard to say that. It's hard to say that you've got to fast beyond Seita Kochavim. I think that you can see the Shevet Halevi, one of his concerns is that, it's maybe Chushal Hadam. So he sees, maybe it's sad to say that really you should be fasting, but because you become patur because of the Chusha. There's a sad there to say that he thinks, really it applies till Seita Kochavim. Rav Nachum makes the observation that it's Tanit Midrabanan. I think according to all of them, once it gets dark, it's dark. that actually can bring out your fast. The only question is, can you bring out your fast even though it's not yet dark? Well, the more major fasts, you've got Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, you shouldn't be on an aeroplane. That's, as far as Tisha B'Av is concerned, that's, I don't necessarily see why there should be a difference. I mean, certainly Rav Moshe says, you know, even with Tisha B'Av, if you cut it down a bit, Tisha B'Av, again, it's, you know, it's Drabbanan. It is Drabbanan. That's, I think that's the main consideration and what, you know, what Chazal had in mind. That's, I don't really think there should be a difference between them. But, you know, you could argue it either way. That's now a question which does often come up is people asking about they don't feel well, that, and you know, to what degree do they have to restrict their consumption on a Tanit Sibur. That's, you know, to what degree are you not allowed to eat, even though it's, you know, you're not fasting, etc., etc. So I want to see what the Avner Nezer says about this. That he's talking about Tisha B'Av, where a person is unwell and therefore only fasting till midday. That so he says that in actual fact there's no such thing. If you're not well, you beklal you don't have to fast. It's not like Yom Kippur where you have to fast as much as you can. If you're not well on these Arba Taniot, you don't have to fast. That even though Yom Kippur is different. Just a moment. Okay, so the ikkar is that you don't really have to you know, there's no chiyuv of there's no chiyuv of observing the fast partially. It's, you know, either you observe a fast or you don't. There's no such thing as you know, as a partial fast. So therefore, you know, if you're not well, then you don't have to fast. Chazal never imposed the fast on somebody who's not well. That's and therefore either you can fast the whole day or you don't have to fast at all. There's no inyan of Tarnit Shalt. That's however, it is worth noting what's in the Mishnah Brura. The Mishnah Brura says that this is talking about Ubarotum Nikot, that's nursing pregnant and nursing women. That's where the Shulchan Aruch says that if they you know, if it's very hard for them, they don't need to fast, and many poskim say under all circumstances they don't need to fast. That's imhem chalushot nireid ein lahem lahachmer. Certainly, if they're weak, they certainly shouldn't be mekul. Mikol makom afat tarich leechol lo itanegat small bevasa v'yayin rak fi mashet tarich. You shouldn't, you know, eat rich foods. You should see what you need to eat. Chen haktanim sheish lahem dat lihitabel afat gav sheim luchuyavin lechancham. So as far as children who are eating on a Tarnit Sibur, that there's certainly no din of chinuch, even if they're 12 years old, they don't need to fast. Nevertheless, mikol makom ra'u l'chanchem shelo yochlu rak kidei kiyum haguf. It's appropriate that they, you know, shouldn't eat more than what's absolutely necessary. Lechem u'mayim Oshar machal pashut lefiatinog. Bread and water, and whatever that's whatever else they might need at Kadesh Yitablu Mahat Sibor. Even though it's not a din of chinuch for the tan, it nevertheless there is a notion of joining with the avelut of the tzibur. So this is quite strict. To be honest, I've never heard of, anybody just giving their children, bread and water. And Rav Shlomo Zalman is brought down as saying that we don't follow that minhag. We just feed them as normal. The exception I would say is don't give your children chocolate and ice cream on a tannic sibol. That so you don't need to just give them dry bread and water, but idunim that's treats that perhaps they shouldn't have, but other things they can have. That's now a question that again comes up not infrequently is the question of somebody's at work on a tannit tzibur, they're finding it hard to work. That's are they exempt from fasting? That's or not? That's so this is a tshuva addressed by Rav Moshe Feinstein. That's in Igrot Moshech. Or Chaim Chelik Dalad Simon Kufyud Dalad. That's so he says essentially you have to fast, but he's got an important chiddush at the end. If we look at the end of his tshuva, he says im nechlash beemtz avodato. So halfway through the day you become very weak. Im hi chulshe yoter miderech bnei adam kishtanim. If it's more than people usually become weak when they're fasting. Then you already got the din of a chole, right? So let's say you get to, everybody feels weak on a fast day, especially when it's as long as Shiva Sabbatavas is. So by definition, you're going to feel weak. But if you feel you're at the stage where you got to go home and lie down because you can't cope any longer, so then in actual fact you've got the din of a chole, you're not well. And when you're not well, you don't need to fast. If it's tomorrow afternoon, a person comes home from work at 7 o'clock in the evening, and it's been a long day at work, and it's been hot. The halavite should be hot tomorrow. But it's been hot, and there's still another 3 hours of the fast. So they want to go and lie down for an hour. So that's not going to qualify them as being a chole. But if they're a person who when it comes to lunchtime already. They have to go to bed and spend the rest of the day in bed. They're a choler. They don't need to fast. That's, you have people. I know people who, Yom Kippur, they'll tell me, for years they haven't been to shul, for mincha and ne'ila. They're just, so unwell by that stage of the day. Yom Kippur, you just lie on the couch and you have to bear it. Whereas on the other fast days, if you're, too weak to function normally, so then you've got the din of being a chole and you don't have to fast, even though there's no particular danger there. So, well firstly, not feeling well is, again, it needs to be that you're going to give yourself this din of, chole she'en bo sakana. We have to bear in mind that everybody feels, weak on a fast day, especially when it's a long fast day. Maybe you don't feel weak on, Asara B'Tevet, but, on a long fast day, you do feel weak. If it's beyond the realms of what we regard as, feeling normally weak, then you can break the fast, and again, you don't. There's no din of shiurim or anything like that. You can eat as much as you need to. You shouldn't indulge yourself. You know, it's still a, you know, as I say, there are two aspects to the fast day. There's the fasting, and there's the tshuva and the introspection and the avilut aspects. And those apply even if you're not fasting. So again, you know, you don't order out for a shawarma. That's if you're not feeling well. But you don't have to have, you know, just a kazayit and, you know, and leave it at that. Okay, want to finish off really just with one issue to do with the 3 weeks. Next week we'll deal with some more issues to do with Tisha B'Av and the 3 weeks. This is the question of weddings during the 3 weeks. That's everybody knows, except for those who don't know, that we don't have weddings during the 3 weeks. So in actual fact, it's a machloket. It's a machloket between Ashkenazim and Sfardim. That's if you look in Siman Taf Kuf Nun Aleph, that you'll see that that's the Mechaber says in Se'if Bet, Ve'ein Nosim Nashim, Ve'ein Nosim Sudat Erusin, that during the 9 days, this is Me'rosh Chodesh Avatan, so during the 9 days, you don't get married. But you can get engaged. And then the Rama adds, V'nagin l'hachmish ein nosim yudzayim betamuz ve'elach, ad achar tisha b'av. So the minhag is, actual fact, not to get married during the 3 weeks at all. That's until after Tisha B'Av. The question is why not? That it seems that the reason we don't get married then is because lo masamna milta. It's it's just not a good time. It's not a good time of year to get married. You know, this is three weeks. It's a time when there's been lots of poranut for the Jewish people, and therefore it doesn't make sense to get married then. But it's not that it's, you know, intrinsically osa. It's just that it's why get married on an inauspicious time? Leave it till a more auspicious time. During the 9 days, it seems that it's an issa of simcha, but during the 3 weeks, it doesn't seem to be an issa of simcha. It seems to be an issa of lom samna milta. Now the question, there are two questions which come up. One is a question which is that I saw a tshuva of the Rishon Letzion, Rav Yitzchak Yosef, on this subject. You've got an Ashkenazi chatan marrying a Sephardi kala. Can they have the wedding during the 3 weeks before the 9 days? If it was a Sephardi chatan, then he's got no question at all. That's a Sephardi chatan. The couple's going to be observing Sephardi practices. That's, of course, you can get married then. That's, what if it's the other way round? That's the case being, in particular, that the everything was booked. You know, and they sort of made a mistake. You know, maybe it was, you know, it's a non-frum couple. They're getting married. That's the chatan's Ashkenazi. His parents say, hold on, you can't get, you're surely not allowed to get married during the 3 weeks. The Kala comes from a more traditional family, and her Sephardi parents say, no, definitely you can get married during the 3 weeks. That's all our relatives got married during the 3 weeks. So they go and ahead and book it, and they've put a big deposit down on some fancy hall somewhere, and they've booked a caterer, and etc., etc. And people have booked their flights. I mean, weddings like that aren't happening now anyhow. But, all this, you know, and all of a sudden, you know, they go to register or whatever, and they discover, no, you're an Ashkenazi, you can't get married then. What's the din going to be? So Rafi Yitzchak Yosef said, for a whole host of reasons, that bearing in mind, he said, you know, bearing in mind the color is Sfardi, and he said, bearing in mind the case that he was talking about was in Eretz Yisrael, which he says is Atra Demaran, is, you know, the Beit Yosef's territory, and that you're passing like the Beit Yosef as the default position in Eretz Yisrael. And he says that, you know, that there might be Bissel Priv Rivia. And he says if they're not a frum couple, then, you know, they might be living together already. So let's save them from that Aveira and have them being married. So all these things, b'diavad, you can, you know, if that's what's been fixed, you can allow it to take place. So that's one question. Second question that comes up is, can an Ashkenazi go to a Sephardi wedding? That's an Ashkenazi's been invited to a Sephardi wedding. That's, you know, next Sunday evening, Sephardi's getting married. The Sephardi next door neighbour's getting married. They're having a big wedding with music and everything. As I say, you know, it's lockdown now. That's no big weddings. But imagine they were having a big wedding, music and everything. You're invited. You're Ashkenazi. Can you go or can't you go? So this seems to be a machloket between the poskim. That's Rav Moshe Sternbach in Tshuvot HaHanagot, Chelek Dalet Siman Kuf Kaf Chet. He says that in actual fact you can go, because the whole prohibition here is a prohibition against getting married. That's Ashkenazim don't get married during the 3 weeks. There's no issa on participating in somebody else's Simcha Shel Mitzvah. It might be prohibited to go to a disco to celebrate a silver wedding anniversary, but where it's a Simcha Shel Mitzvah, there's no issa in that. There's an issa against getting married, and that's primarily because of Lo Misamna Milta. It's an inauspicious time to be getting married. That's why you shouldn't get married then. But joining in a Simcha Shel Mitzvah, you can always join in a Simcha Shel Mitzvah. That's and therefore that's Rav Moshe Sternbach allows it. However, Rav Ephraim Greenblatt in Rivavot Ephraim, Chedek Vav Simon Reish Peitet, he disagrees. And he says that in actual fact the issa is that's against participating in the Simcha. Ashkenazim don't do things of Simcha during this period of time, and that would include going to the wedding of a Sephardi. So it seems to be a machloket poskim there. It seems to be mistabeh to me, like Rav Moshe Sternbach, that you should be able to attend. That's because, you know, in general, you know, people get married before the 3 weeks. There's no issa of, you know, continuing the Simcha afterwards. You know, it seems that it should be permissible. Anyhow, there's lots more that we could discuss, but these were some pointers to do with the Inyana Dioma. That's, I see somebody's just sent me a text through about something, and they've put at the end, you know, fast well tomorrow. That's what they say, fast well. That's easy fast. Have an easy fast. Somebody said to me a few years ago, they said to me, before Shivas and Tamazas, they said, Som Mashma'uti. Have a meaningful fast. So I think that's much more significant. It's not about having an easy fast. It's about having a meaningful fast. So that's what I wish everybody. Next week we'll carry on just a few more issues to do with the 3 weeks and Tisha B'Av. Next week will be the last year that we have for this year.